This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, Doug Duda here with you. Glad you could join us on this beautiful Wednesday. We've got a full show in mind for you today. We'll be talking a little Nebraska baseball by talking to their weekend opponent, and that will be Ohio State. And Ohio State head coach Greg Beals will be joining us here in just a little bit. We'll talk a little spring soccer as well, as Tammy Anderson has the Kearney High girls in pretty good shape, 9-1 on the season. Their third in the state in terms of wild card points from the NSAA. And we'll talk to Tammy about the success that the Bearcats have had so far this year, giving up only two goals on the entire season. And in our Loper link here in just a little bit, we'll be talking with UNK track coach Brady Bonzel as the Lopers continue to be in great shape, getting things going, rolling through the outdoor season, actually having some fairly nice weather to get some work done. And we'll begin right there as we'll be talking with Brady Bonzel, the track coach at UNK. Brady, how you doing? You brought good weather finally. We're starting to finally feel like it's springtime out there.
It's starting to get there. We're still dealing with a little bit of wind, which I guess isn't always bad.
You're in Nebraska. Yeah, you know you're in Nebraska, right? Because, I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the beast a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I noticed, I think we had really nice calm weather Friday and pretty calm weather on Sunday and really calm weather on Monday, but we had to meet on Saturday, so that was maybe a little bit of an issue for some of us, but now we're doing well.
Well, you always know that there's a track meet somewhere whenever the wind picks up. That's always kind of that sign. Hey, yeah,
exactly.
And when you guys have been performing, you've had a nice kind of start to the year, getting more and more provisional marks out there, and Dylan Schroe continues to really knock it out of the ballpark when it comes to the decathlon. Talk a little bit about, just in general, some of the success that you guys have had here in the fairly early part of the outdoor season.
Yeah, we were really pleased with how Dylan did in his decathlon the other day. He'll qualify for nationals with that mark, or we anticipate him qualifying for nationals with that mark anyway. And that was done down in Emporia, Kansas, and the first day was not very nice. If you think back to last Thursday here in Kearney, that was the cold, windy, rainy day, and it was a little bit better further south in Emporia, but that's what they were dealing with the first day. So, you know, his high jump mark, like you said, he usually comes in higher than what he was able to jump that day, and it was just related to the weather. So for him to walk away with a mark like he did that was right at our school record or broke his own school record, I guess, and a mark that we think it'll qualify, we're really pleased with that. And like you said, getting several provisional marks as we go along. You know, we feel really good about Danny Coons last week at Concordia through 180 feet in the hammer, which, again, most years that would qualify. So we kind of anticipate her being in good shape as far as qualifying for nationals. Colby Juergens, who's a senior from Beatrice, is in the top 25 right now in both the discus and the hammer, with about 20 getting to qualify for nationals in those events. So he's in the hunt in a couple. So yeah, we're starting to get some things rolling. And I think as we continue to get warmer and nicer weather, I think we're going to continue to get good marks.
Loper coach Brady Bonzel with us here as part of our Loper link. Brady, some people may have went, did he just say he broke the school record and might qualify for nationals? That would be unique to be as solid as he is, break a school record. And is that the strength of that event this year, or is he just kind of setting the bar higher and higher?
It's a continuing strength of Division II, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I'm in my eighth year at UNK, eighth year coaching in Division II, And the Division II that we compete in today is vastly different than what we competed in when I first got here. And it just continues to get better. The depth, I don't know that the top end always gets that much better, probably a little bit better, but that's, you know, you talk about your up cycles and your down cycles. I think that's probably relative to the top two or three people in each event. That maybe is a little up and down. But if you look at what it takes to be ranked 10th in an event, or 20th, or those marks that don't qualify, 30th, 40th, the quality of those marks is really going up. So able to qualify for nationals is just part, you know, so yeah, we, you know, and I'm also pretty conservative when I say stuff, pretty cautious. So we're pretty sure that'll qualify, but you never know until the season's done.
How much comfort do they take out of that? I mean, especially this early on, is there, you know what, that's nice and all, but obviously you're always going to try to get better, but do they really kind of push to make sure I've got to guarantee myself to get in there?
Yeah. Well, and in his case, it's more of a decision, say with that decathlon, that's not something you do every week. You do one or two of them during the season. So we've got one, so then we make the decision, do we need to do one at conference or not? Or, because at the indoor conference meet, he was already qualified in the indoor heptathlon. So then we had to decide at conference, do we feel like we can maybe get more points out of not doing that, not taking all that gas out of the tank and spreading around and doing, you know, maybe doing the high jump and the long jump and the high hurdles and that sort of thing, or do we need to do another one? I think we're leaning towards doing another one, not necessarily because we feel like he needs that to qualify for nationals. We just think that can set him up to perform well at nationals by doing that.
Brady Bonsall, track coach, UNK, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The Kansas Relays, the best early test and one of the most prestigious meets that you guys will be a part of. That is part of the weekend. Who's all headed there?
You know, we've got about 40 athletes that were competing there this year, so a number of people that were taken down. We had some people that also got in that maybe within their training cycle or their race or competition cycle, we just felt like it wasn't the best fit for them at this point. Sometimes some of our better athletes, but we just feel like, you know what, yeah, you got in the 400 hurdles, but we've run that 2 or 3 weeks in a row. We feel like maybe you're better off doing an off event this week. And, you know, we don't do, you know, it may be different for a vaulter or for a, you know, discus thrower, that they do that same event every week. As you get into the jumps, and especially when you get on the track, you don't do that necessarily, where you don't just do this. The best way to run a good 1500 isn't necessarily to run the 1500 every week. That's probably the worst way to do it, actually. So as we decide who we take and who we don't take, that kind of factors in as well. But yeah, it's a big meet. It's always a good crowd. You know, it's always a challenge when you go to a meet like that. I spend all week telling folks to be ready for weird things to happen, weird things in the administration of the meet. The bigger the meet, almost the more it throws you out of your normal routine, and they just have to be able to roll with the punches with that. Sometimes bigger meets like that are the most poorly run meets, honestly, because of the size of them. They're hard to keep a handle on administratively for the folks running the meet. So, you know, when you go there, you just got to realize that you can't let little things throw you off. If you don't get to warm up the way you normally warm up, or if the check-in process is different, you just got to live with it and still go out and perform well.
Is there an upside to a larger meet like that, though? I mean, does it kind of get the competitive juices flowing when you have more competition?
You go there to find a higher level of competition than what you would normally find week in, week out. That's the goal, you know. And maybe on the track, it's because of who you're racing against that you race faster. Sometimes we've seen in field events, it's by going against some really good folks and maybe getting beat around a little bit, that then you come back the following week to the smaller, more low-key meet and actually perform really well. It's just we've seen different patterns of whether we perform well at the big meet or right after the big meet that kind of helps us decide what we want to do with our athletes.
Brady, do you have any individuals that may not have factored in the indoor season, that the outdoor season is their cup of tea?
You know, you again, I mentioned the discus with Colby Juergens, although he was conference runner-up in the weight throw as well. It's just a different event. You know, although Nick Knutson has been dealing with some injury and kind of even illness stuff, he was ninth at the national meet in the steeplechase last year. Now, he had the best indoor season he's ever had, so we just really hope that transitions into having a really good outdoor season. You got Marissa Bongers, who just didn't have indoor eligibility. She's a fifth-year senior who only had outdoor eligibility left, and on the women's side is as good as we have as far as athletes on our women's team. So, yeah, those are probably the ones that, jump out at me. But you never know. I mean, sometimes you have that freshman who it finally starts clicking for in the outdoor season, or you get that person who's dealing with an injury and comes on later in the season. And so we really see that over the last half of the outdoor season, and that last half starts this weekend.
All right, Brady. Hey, we wish you guys the best of luck. We'll talk again soon. Keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, get to class.
Thanks, Brady.
That's track coach Brady Bonzel joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Part of our Loper Link brought to you by CharterWest National Bank. Kearney, you have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today. They go to Crete for the Jim Dutcher Memorial, and a lot of them going to Kansas for the Kansas Relays as well. Checking some of the other Loper news, the football team continues to practice. They will have their spring game coming up next Saturday, and then we will have some of the folks from UNK football from kind of all standpoints next Wednesday. Coach Lamberson, Athletic Director Plinski, Brad Koenig with the football backers, they're going to tell us about their banquet that's coming up on May the 5th. So that's what's going on with football. I talked to Coach Squires about volleyball. They're kind of under the radar. Yes, they have spring stuff, but we haven't heard much about spring volleyball. Nebraska usually has 3 or 4 weekends where they do some things, yeah, and next weekend they're in Grand Island. And he said, yeah, we got a couple of things, but nothing major, nothing out of the ordinary. In fact, maybe keyed back a little bit. Their numbers are down for a variety of reasons. He's just trying to get his roster figured out as they will get ready for fall volleyball.
Well, it's kind of a nice outreach a little bit for Nebraska volleyball, being able to come out to the Tri-City area and play volleyball. It just works a little bit differently in the Division II level. And they've tried that in years past. They've played in some events and tried to kind of generate a little bit more interest with that. I don't know if that really worked out as well for them as they wanted to, so they kind of have scaled things back a little bit in terms of that kind of outreach. Because let's face it, that's exactly what Nebraska is doing, is they're trying to generate fan support with a little bit of an outreach of playing to the Tri-Cities. You know, not necessarily enough of you guys are coming to watch us, so we'll come out to your place and see if we can generate that interest. And I think that's pretty good marketing by UNL.
Also, how convenient the Color Run was held, the 3rd annual Color Run on Sunday. And as I was driving around Sunday morning and saluting those that were out and running and walking as I drove by them, there was plenty of color on the streets and the sidewalks around UNK, and then conveniently the short rain shower that we had came in. Washed it away. Yeah. It was like just doing the job for you. And how awesome was that?
We got it. This taken care of for you. Mother Nature sometimes steps up to the bat. It's always nice to get a little bit of rain, especially it's been so dry.
Tonight, the UNK baseball team is going to have packed the park. Wayne State coming in. This was not on the original schedule, but it is tonight at 6 o'clock. There will be special gifts to the first 100 attendees. 12 and under will have free admission with an adult, so that's going on tonight. Then Lindenwood comes in this weekend, and unbelievably, it is the final home games of the year for UNK baseball. So go out and check out Damon Day's squad. The Loper softball team has a weekend off. They played Hastings yesterday and went 2-0. They swept the Hastings College by scores of 8-0 and 4-2. Holly Carnes picks up career win number 300 as the head coach of the Lopers. We had her on last week, and Cassie Ressing picked up the victory in both of those games for UNK. They are off until going to Chadron next Tuesday.
It's unbelievable to me. It's tax day, and we're already talking about the last home games of the year. Don't give me that look.
It's what?
Don't give me that look.
It's what?
I probably shouldn't say this. I'll get in trouble. But my wife said this morning, do we have to pay our taxes today? And I was like, yeah, honey, we kind of do. I mean, it's been that way since, I don't know, Abraham Lincoln was a boy. And so, yeah, today's the day. We mentioned this when we did the taxes 3 weeks ago. We kind of mentioned that.
UNK is hosting Concordia tonight and travels to Northwest Missouri State next Friday this Friday for tennis. The Lopers, Jack Nicholson, yes, we mentioned him before, but for the second time, he is the MIAA Tennis Athlete of the Week on the men's side in the MIAA. They did fall to Wichita Baptist in a tight 5-4 match, and that's important when it comes to regionals and making the postseason, because the UNK men a week ago ranked number one in their region, and the women ranked sixth, trying to make it to the postseason, and of course be in good shape when that rolls around.
Yeah, I can't help it. Every time I hear about Jack Nicholson, I just picture, you know, Wendy, light of my life. You know, he needs to meet somebody named Wendy. I'm just saying, a little shining reference for you.
We'll do our comedy clip, which will be way better than that, in just a moment. That is our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank. Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, R&D, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. Greg Beals, Ohio State baseball coach, is scheduled to join us at the bottom of the hour. Huskers beat Creighton last night in a weird game. They booted the ball around, threw, had some walks, and Creighton got on top, and then they let Nebraska right back in it with even more mistakes on their end. Nebraska's up 6-2, cruising. Creighton battles back, ties this thing up. Jake Plotchick gets the game-winning RBI in the top of the ninth. They actually brought Josh Rader, the main man, out of the bullpen, the closer, in a non-save situation. He came in and got the final five outs, so he actually picked up the win instead of the save.
And that says something a little bit about the rivalry, just the value of beating your in-state Division I rival in a midweek game. I mean, because really, it doesn't matter. I mean, in terms of overall, the things you want to get done with your baseball program, it isn't that important, but it's important in the state. You beat your division rival. I'm sure Ohio State would go through the same thing if they were playing Ohio. I mean, so there's a lot of examples of this, but you don't start your ace pitcher, you know, on that Wednesday midweek game or whatever. But when it comes down to it and it's like, let's win this thing, then you do throw out the ace of your relievers.
It became more important. I said when they played 2 weeks ago that it's obviously – well, I don't know if I said obviously, but I said it's more important for Nebraska to win because you can't lose to a Creighton ball club. They've got RPI. Creighton has put themselves in pretty good position. Actually, I kind of thought last night it was more important for Creighton just in case they don't end up winning the Big East, and they need some RPI where Nebraska has positioned themselves very well. They won't have a whole lot of better matchups outside of the conference than when they play Nebraska, and they had a chance last night and couldn't finish, couldn't capitalize. There'll be one more game between the schools, and for the Huskers tonight, they'll welcome in the Omaha Mavericks, which they went to extra innings with last time that they played, coming off that 16-game homestand a couple of weeks ago.
And those midweek games always are a little bit more interesting because you want to win them, but you also want to play these guys, and you don't start your ace pitcher. It's just an entirely different animal, and you usually see a lot more runs scored. And I don't know. I just really think Nebraska is going to be a little bit more focused coming in today because I think the Mavericks got their attention last time.
Let's do our Cunningham's Comedy Clip, your chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's Cunningham's Comedy Night, the early session. We will randomly draw out a winner from all of the correct entries after the program today. So we're going to play you a comedy clip. It's either from a stand-up routine, a movie, or a television show.
Movie.
You give us the answer. It's a movie this week. By emailing the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's always the same, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can leave your answer on our Facebook post, which you can also hear the clip again, or you can call the Cunningham's Comedy Contest line, 308-646-0506, 646-0506. If that is the way you choose to leave your answer, make sure you leave your name and contact number. In case you're the winner, we can get you the tickets. And here is this week's Cunningham's Comedy Clip.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
What movie or what actor? Let us know by calling the comedy contest line, emailing the answer to the Dent Popper inbox, or commenting on our Facebook page with the answer, and we will draw out a winner for a pair of tickets to Thursday night with the headline act at comedy at Cunningham's coming up on Thursday night. The early show, again, we want to remind you, at 7:30. The headliner is David Beck this week.
Yeah, when you hear Beck, sometimes it's that musical artist. This one's a little bit different than that. Our Lady of Blessed Acceleration, don't fail me now.
We'll be back after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C, NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online nmcrental.com or call 855-NMC-RENT. nmcrental.com.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today as we head our way up in the low 60s as southeast winds will stay gusting about 15 to 25. Tonight, there's a chance for isolated showers or storms with a low at 46. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 57.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. In a Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with a 95-year heritage, two locations, which include the eight new car franchises and a used car superstore coming soon. Midway, always searching for talented team members. If you're searching for a progressive and stable company to build a career, they'd love to speak with you. The automotive industry rapidly expanding, and Midway is currently hiring. With hard work and integrity, you will succeed. A position at Midway provides you the opportunity to build long-term relationships, have a positive impact on others and the community, propel your career skills, and enhance your financial well-being. Come be a part of the growth at Midway and recognize your full potential. You can find out about all the opportunities at their special website for jobs, MidwayCareers.com, MidwayCareers.com, and find out how you can be a part of the Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And, of course, stop by and visit them if you're looking for that new or pre-owned vehicle or see their entire inventory online at ThinkMidway.com. Aaron Hernandez, guilty. Okay, thanks, ESPN, for going wall-to-wall with this. Come on. That's what CNN's for. I'm sorry, I say this all the time. We've drugged this out. Aaron Hernandez, you're guilty. You're
well,
lint.
And
you're
why
lint.
Would
you're scum? I don't want to listen.
Why does CNN care? I mean, I'm going to defend ESPN a little bit on this. Why does CNN care that this guy in this case is guilty? It's because of the sports connection.
I get
so
what you're saying.
So it is a sports story as well, unfortunately. And, you know, we were kind of having a discussion. I was looking at something, thinking about Lawrence Phillips. You know, who's a bigger wasted talent than Lawrence Phillips? Correct answer would be Aaron Hernandez.
There's a few of them out there, unfortunately.
Yeah, Ray Carruth, and yeah, unfortunately.
That would be a better word. Let's take a look at what else is going on in the world of sports. Tri-City Storm get a nice win last night. You don't want to put pressure on your team. But, boy, that takes a little weight off. And, of course, you know, you got to find the right coach. Coach Holton's got to have the right words as they get ready for Thursday night's Game 2 and Saturday night's Game 3. Hey, we don't want to go back to Omaha. Let's not give back what we just got. Let's get that 2-0 lead. Let's put our foot on their throat. Let's take care of business here. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, let's win 2 and rest up. I mean, that's a key element, too. I mean, the longer you get a rest, you get to work for the next opponent, and chances are you're going to be healthier if you can win the next two at home.
So a big, big win last night. First playoff win for the Storm since 2007. Connor Valencio scored both goals. Alec Dillon made 25 saves in the 2-1 win over Omaha.
And you kind of mentioned it a little bit. It was a calculated risk deciding to play that first game on the road. That was the Storm's call. It was a calculated risk, and now that they come away with a 2-1 win, now you got to make payoff.
If you would like tickets, again, purchase those at the Viero Events Center box office or go to stormhockey.com. Both the Thursday and Saturday games face off at 7:05. If there is a Game 4, it's in Omaha Sunday, and Game 5 would be back in Kearney on Tuesday. So that's what's going on there.
They're hoping to have that taken care of. They don't really want to have to worry about the rest of that stuff. That's the goal, right? That's the goal.
Well, the goal is to get the goal. It is Spring Letter of Intent signing day. You'll be hearing some news about that. It's not quite as big as football, and not because of the athletes signing or non-signing, but you just kind of tend to know more about it. You know, said, oh, yeah, he's committed to play basketball at Nebraska or run track at UNK or play soccer at Concordia or whatever the case may be.
I honestly thought, you know, I'm thinking of some athletes that are going to play soccer somewhere. I thought they already signed back in the fall, to be honest with you. I think they just kind of announced their intent, and that was the actual day that you do it. So
I can't keep up with this one.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. And again, a lot of times they say it and they kind of go through that bigger ceremony with all the folks back in the fall instead, or winter actually, instead of having it be their own day.
So that's what's going on there. Some soccer played yesterday. By the way, forgot to mention that the Loper golf teams will be heading to the MIAA championships next week. They both competed over this past weekend. The women 12 out of 18 in Springfield. The men 8 out of 12 at Washburn University. So that's what's going on there.
Yeah, and you mentioned some soccer. We're going to be talking a little soccer here in a little bit. The Kearney High girls are kind of good. They're kind of good.
Yeah, they won again yesterday. They're 9-1 on the season. Well, another team that has gotten off to a very good start is the Ohio State Baseball Club, and they will be coming to Lincoln to take on the Huskers this weekend. Right now, a series that whoever wins that's going to keep a little momentum. Nebraska tripped up once against Minnesota, got swept by Maryland, and for Ohio State, 7-2 in the conference. They had their bye week last week, and Greg Beals has been kind enough to join us every time before the series from the Buckeyes, and again, he joins us today on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter. Coach, good morning. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Doing good, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well,
thanks for talking college baseball.
Well, we love baseball. We love Nebraska, Ohio State. And, of course, I just remember watching everybody play again last year at TD Ameritrade Park. The Huskers were there last night playing Creighton. And it would be nice to have everybody come to Omaha every single year.
Well, that's nice for you guys, right?
we can't get your vote on that.
I am very, very, you know, from a college baseball standpoint, you guys do it great there in Lincoln and TD Ameritrade in Omaha. What an amazing venue, and college baseball is done right out there, no doubt about it.
Coach, you feel it's important to move that conference tournament around, and you know, when does it make it to, I don't know, Cincinnati? I mean, you could have it at Cincinnati.
Reds fan.
Well, you know, we had it in the Triple A park here in Columbus for a few years, and TD Ameritrade makes a lot of sense. You know, it's the mecca of college baseball, and you know, we got to share that with Creighton in the Big East, I believe it. You know, it is the conference they're in now, and so we got to share it every other year with them. So it does give us an opportunity to move it around. I like a destination, though, you know, for that conference tournament, and our conference is getting awfully tough, and that tournament's going to get better and better.
Greg, are you, I don't know if surprise is the right word, but you've got to be pleasantly pleased with the way your ball club has played so far, 24-9 on the season, 7-2 in the conference.
Yeah, well, we're playing good baseball. I'm not surprised. I knew we were very capable of it. We didn't get a whole lot of love in the preseason polls or any of that, but we here in Columbus and in our locker room, we felt like we had a good ball club and a chance to compete, you know, at a regional level and for a conference championship.
Coach, you know, I kind of take a look at the top 10 in the conference standings and stuff, the individual numbers and stuff like that. Don't see a lot of Ohio State in there. Is that a great indication of just the overall balance of your team? Is the overall balance top to bottom throughout your pitching order, is that the strength of the Buckeyes?
Yeah, it kind of is, and that's kind of the MO of our ball club. We don't have, you know, a group of superstars. We've got a group of guys that play a really good game of baseball, and collectively, it makes us tough as a team.
Greg Beals, head baseball coach at Ohio State, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Got to be walking even a little extra tall this morning after last night's win against fourth-ranked Louisville.
Yeah, we had a good ball game yesterday. We pitched the ball extremely well to shut out the fourth or fifth ranked team in the country, and a very strong RPI team. We pitched and played great defense, and were able to muster up a couple of runs against a team that pitches the ball awfully well also.
Going in, Coach, we were kind of talking about the Creighton-Nebraska game last night, that, you know, it'd be nice to win. It's kind of, for us, that'd be kind of a nice win for Nebraska. How much emphasis did you put on, because they're number four in the country, you want to build your resume, how much emphasis did you put on last night's game?
Well, you know, it's a game that I think our guys looked at on the schedule and said, this is kind of a measuring stick ball game. And you know what? That's kudos to Louisville and the program they have, that, you know, they've been in the College World Series recently, and they're certainly on the map in college baseball. So our guys looked at it as an opportunity to kind of see where we are and can we play at a national level. And we showed up pretty well last night.
Coach, Randy was mentioning your pitching staff, team ERA of 2.73, and a unique line for Trace Dempsey. And not only has he got you five saves to lead your team, but he's got a 7-1 record as well. What are you doing with Trace?
Well, we're just using him late in the ball game, and fortunately or unfortunately, as you're managing games, you don't like to be going into the ninth inning tied a lot, but we have, and so he's gotten in there in some tie ball games, you know, especially here at home. Pitch the top of the ninth inning, put a zero up, give our team a chance to win the game, and we've done that a handful of times, and his line has reaped the benefits of that.
What's been the success to so many late inning wins for you guys?
Well, I think confidence is a big part of that. You as a player and as a team, you want to have that confidence, but you got to do it a few times in order to get it, and that's what I like, is our team has been able to find ways to win games, and that's breeding some confidence.
Offensively, how are you guys kind of getting it done? A little bit of speed, just timely hitting, just all up and down? I mean, how has it kind of come together for you offensively?
Well, I think offensively, the thing that we try to do is we try to be dynamic. What I mean by that is extra base hits and some stolen bases, and if you look at our line, our batting average is solid. We're like at 275, which isn't a great batting average, but a solid batting average. But we're getting our fair share of extra base hits, and we're getting our fair share of stolen bases, which means we're always, we're in scoring position and giving ourselves a chance.
Speaking of stolen bases, your leading hitter is also your leading base stealer. That's center fielder Troy Montgomery. I'm sure the fans in Lincoln are going to get a dose of him this weekend.
Well, he's a fun guy to watch. He plays fast, and he's our leadoff guy, and he's been setting the table for us, and hopefully we can keep that trend going. And we're certainly looking forward to getting strong pitching from the pitching staff at Nebraska, and they're going to be tough games just like they were last year. I think we played Nebraska four times last year, lost all four games, and I think we lost by a total of four runs, and all four games came in Nebraska's last at-bat, so they kind of had that mojo against us last year, and our ball club's well aware of that, and we look forward to getting back after them. And a lot of respect for Coach Erstead and their program, just like we had last night at Louisville. So our boys will be ready to go this weekend.
You kind of mentioned that they didn't get a lot of love coming in with the preseason rankings and the coaches' analysis and that sort of thing. Is your team playing with a bit of a chip on their shoulder?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think, we do all the work that everybody else does, and our guys have paid the price, and they feel like they're prepared. And not that we care a whole lot about what, the coaches and what the polls and what preseason stuff says. We care about what we do on a daily basis. But guys are aware. They know what's going on. They're on Twitter. They see all the stuff that the media puts out there.
another minute here with Ohio State baseball coach Greg Beals as the Buckeyes roll into Lincoln. I'm not going to ask you how important the series is this weekend because every coach says every series is important, but what are you looking at as concerns when you play Nebraska? What's unique about Nebraska compared to the other teams that you've played in the conference?
Well, the first thing you got to talk about is the facility and the venue and the support that they have, and it's a great place for college baseball, but it's going to be a Husker-dominated crowd. We certainly know that, and we've experienced that. So our guys they have a feel for that. But on the field, you got a good ball club, no doubt about it. They always play hard, and again, I think it's all very similar to our team. I think there's very solid pitching and a tough lineup. There's guys throughout that lineup that can produce, and it's going to be a hard-fought weekend, no doubt about it.
In a lot of the Big Ten sports, which we're still even getting accustomed to here at Nebraska, there's no preseason all-conference team like a lot of people do, but they do put out a players-to-watch list, and everybody usually gets three of those guys in most of the sports out there. Your three, we talked about Tanner Tully, but you got pitcher and Travis Lankins, Ronnie Dawson in the outfield. All sophomores, the positives, negatives, that those are the three faces that were put out there for your program to start the season.
Well, I think the positive are is that the program's in good shape. That we're you can see that some sustainability in our roster and in our talent. And those guys are, Tully was the freshman player of the year in the conference last year, and Ronnie Dawson was a freshman All-American last year, and Lakin pitched a lot out of our bullpen last year and moved into the rotation. But we got some seniors that are leading us also. Pat Porter, our right fielder, is a very solid player and been playing well this year. And, Troy Montgomery, our center fielder, is a sophomore also. So we got good balance as far as the representation as far as our class goes.
Coach, give us your rotation. Who are you throwing out there this week?
Well, we're going to do what we've been doing every weekend. And Paulie will be the Friday night guy, and he's a left-hander. And then right-hander Travis Lakins will go on Saturday. And then senior left-hander Ryan Riga will be our Sunday starter.
Lefty and lefty. So the Huskers better be getting ready for some lefties. We'll let you go with this, Greg. Hey, did Urban Meyer leave you guys any money?
I don't know. He's got some. I know that. It's hard to say you earn it, you deserve it, whatever, but from a college football standpoint, he's done an amazing job, and our football program's in great shape, and we certainly respect and love what Urban and that program's doing for us here at Ohio State.
Well, we know being here in Nebraska how important football is to both universities, but baseball is making its name as well. So, Greg, thanks for the time of the Doug and Daddy Show, and congratulations on the great win last night, and we will see you in Lincoln this weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck.
Coach Greg Beals, Ohio State, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Talk a little Big Ten baseball. This is a good baseball team, Randy. This is a good baseball team.
They're going to have to look really hard to find a whole lot of silver out in the that sea of red that's going to be out there. But, yeah, they're 7-2. And, again, what impresses me about them is just kind of top to bottom. There isn't those guys in there who go, say, well, that guy's only playing defense. He's only out there for his defense. Hitting, they're very balanced. Coach had it exactly right. They're batting 275 as a team. Their best batter is at 322 that's starting, and they'll throw out 256, 250, 259. Those are the bad ones. It's a very balanced lineup all the way through there, and they got a nice rotation and a good closer in the bullpen. So they have the essential elements you need to have a good, successful three-game series.
Well, important for Nebraska to win at home, and it's going to be tough this weekend. I really think this series is going to tell us a lot. When Nebraska doesn't have all of those teams that are in the rankings right now and don't play in Indiana, this is a team that's trying to make their mark.
Well, and then after getting swept by Maryland, if they would have won one of those games, they probably, you can always afford to lose a game here and there. It's baseball. You play enough of them. But they almost need to have a sweep against an outstanding Ohio State team to kind of right things from last weekend where they got swept by Maryland. So, and that's not going to be easy to do. I still think 2-1 for Nebraska this weekend would be a successful series for them, but there's a little bit more emphasis. They almost kind of need to get that third win, and that's not going to be easy.
No doubt about it. TNL Irrigation, like no other, folks, farmers, they are here for you, not just in 2015, but anytime. If you need still a little work done on your current TNL, if you haven't got that done yet, they'll take care of you. If you are getting ready to plant and you go, you know what? I mean, it'd be hard to say I'm a pivot short, but you're trying to get yours ready and you realize, hey, this just ain't working. TNL Irrigation can take care of you immediately. TNL Irrigation System, hydrostatically powered pivots to take care of your crop investment. Contact your local TNL dealer or go to TLIRR.com and find out why they're like no other at TNL Irrigation. Talk a little soccer with Tammy Anderson. Also, the Nebraska Danger have an IFL Player of the Week. We'll tell you who it is and more after this.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
If you're hoppy and you know it, then you need to get your tickets to this year's Hastings Downtown Do the Brew. Taste dozens of craft beers and enjoy live music at this fundraiser for the Hastings Art Council. Do the Brew will be held April 25th at the Hastings City Auditorium. Tickets are available at the Hastings Area Chamber of Commerce, Murphy's Wagon Wheel, or Wine Styles. Be hoppy and know it at the Hastings Downtown Do the Brew, April 25th. Please drink responsibly. Designated driver.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
I'm a Ford guy. My dad was a Ford guy, and so was my dad's dad. But more to the point, I'm a Crossroads Ford guy. The pickup my dad used to teach me to drive came from Crossroads. The Ford my son will learn to drive comes from Crossroads, too. Why have I stuck by them? Because they've stuck by us. From regular maintenance to the repairs when the driving lessons don't go very well, Crossroads has earned our trust. Their family has always taken care of our family. Small enough to know you, big enough to help. Crossroads Ford in Kearney.
Healthy Kids Weekend, bike ball and a bike rodeo, storybook walk and safe kids day, Kearney CrossFit agility course, family mall walk, archery human maze, free weekend at the Y and Elks 100 golf, top it all off with bicycle Sunday. The song doesn't rhyme, but that's not a prop. Activate BuffaloCounty.com, April 25th and 26th. Come on out and be healthy, kids. This message brought to you by community partners and safe routes to school.
If I lay here, if I just lay here.
Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back with you in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. IFL has named their Players of the Week, the Indoor Football League, and Kane Farquharson of the Nebraska Danger has picked up the honor. He emerged as the team's number one offensive threat in the back-and-forth affair against Cedar Rapids last week. Quality ball club, 6 receptions, 112 yards, 3 touchdowns against the number one rated pass defense. He also became the first wide receiver to have a 100-yard performance against the Titans in 12 games. He leads the IFL with 10 touchdown receptions. I figured that the Danger had a good chance, but I thought it might be Jameel Sewell. He threw 5 touchdowns and ran well as well. And now they take on the Iowa Barnstormers for the second time. The Barnstormers in linebacker Javis Jones is the special teams player of the week. That game on the road Saturday.
You know what? Farquharson just has a habit of finding a way to get open, and that obviously helps Sewell find him. You know, so it's a great tandem that they've got going on there. And like you say, it's great when you have to decide, gosh, who's more valuable to us, our best wide receiver or our quarterback? That's a great relationship when you got to have those discussions.
Our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Do you like the current Triple Crown horse racing event? yeah, I like it. Format, meh. They've been talking about tweaking it. 86% of our listeners that voted at ESPNSuperstation.com said yes. You know, I guess, and I know the horseman will probably yell at me for this.
I think it's great that it's hard. I do. You know, California Chrome's owner was upset that you know, that last race, everybody kind of gets to have rested horses going out there, going against California Chrome, who's, you know, been grinding it out and all that stuff. And they're right, but what makes it great is that it's hard.
Well, and the one thing, because, and with all the horse racing that I love and that we cover, I still haven't got it. Why the horse is so much tired. I mean, you're playing any sport. They talk about these horses as athletes. Nobody else gets 3 weeks off.
I mean, well, but nobody else is carrying somebody else on their back either.
Well, nobody else is that thousands of pounds.
Right, come on. Refrigerator Perry, but that's a different story.
I agree. I would like it. And
back in the day,
that happened more often. But horses, if they didn't win the Derby, usually would skip the Preakness and go to the Belmont.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like when a horse just comes in for the Belmont. I mean, because it is a downer. I would like to see. I get his
I
point.
Would love,
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
But
that's why it's noteworthy that we haven't had one for a while. I mean, if it was easy. You know.
But if you're not good enough to get in the Derby, you shouldn't be good enough to get in the Belmont.
How about that?
There's
something to that. Yeah. I mean, there is, and I get the discussion, but I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that really what makes this such a great event is that it's hard to do.
Yes, I get that. I agree with that. But you don't let a golfer just walk on the course at the Masters. He has an opportunity to get into the John Deere Classic and the Houston Open, and those.
You have different
things.
Ones to play in the Masters that they're different than the U.S. Open. You know, different than the PGA.
But all the good ones are there.
But there are differences.
You don't get to just show up and play in the Masters.
Well,
you shouldn't get to just show up and compete in the Belmont.
Well, the favorites are still, I mean, you talk about the good ones are already there. If you take a look at the betting line, you know, the good ones for the Belmont, they will have been in those previous races, more than likely.
And I think the problem is, and I think a lot of horse racing fans would agree, it is went way too long without a Triple Crown. It's almost to the point now of,
yeah, well, it's not going to happen. Why get excited?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you won finally. Thank God. I mean, that's the feeling I get.
Well, yeah, they need finally, to have they need to have a Triple Crown winner. That would infuse a lot of energy into the sport again. I mean, it really would bring it back down to the masses a little bit. It is maybe a little bit too much of the sport of kings at the moment.
And it's a catch 22 too, yeah. Randy. If it's not a great horse, and we've had a handful of those that have.
I thought Chrome was going to do it. I did.
Them so, but. Chrome was not a great horse. I mean, I'd have to go back and grab my
I thought he was until the last race when he finished.
What was it, Fusiace Pegasus, and was it Big Brown? And
well, yeah,
some of those that got the notoriety and won the Kentucky Derby, because as we all know, the favorite hardly ever wins the Kentucky Derby, which makes it great for the investors because it makes the wagering pool so much bigger. But there are things and. I think what would happen is if somebody would win the Triple Crown, I think then you would jump in and see the tweaks. I think they're hesitant to do a lot of tweaking because then somebody wins the Triple Crown the next year. It's just, well, it's not the same. We put an asterisk.
Yeah, it's tainted at that point. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. Maybe there's a fair way to do it. Maybe there is a fair way to do it. But, again, it's got to be hard. Otherwise, it has no value. You know, it's got to be hard. Otherwise, there's no value to it at all. So, you know, again, it is a catch 22 because you'd love to see somebody win it and have somebody kind of get in there, infuse that energy. But then if you do tweak it, you kind of mentioned that being an asterisk. If you do tweak it and if somebody wins it that very next year again, you know, then there's going to be all that discussion about it's still tainted.
Let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question for today. This is up your alley. Which team has the best chance of winning the Stanley Cup? Now, we give you four choices. You can go off the board here, Randy, but Anaheim, Montreal, the New York Rangers, which was the selection of Coach Holton, Jared Schaffner of the Storm, or the St. Louis Blues. Are you taking one of those four? Or are you going elsewhere?
To me, it's either the Rangers or the Blues. It's either the Rangers or the Blues right now. And again, the great thing about hockey, this never happens in the NBA, but it's a fairly regular occurrence in the NHL that an 8 beats a 1 in the very first round. And they have changed the format a little bit because you can, you know, you play the highest versus lowest seeded team will meet in the next round, you know. So if you are the 8, you might there have to play the number 2 seed the very next round. So they're making the regular season matter in that regard. But I still think it'll either be the Blues or the Rangers. And if are you making me pick one? Are you making me? I'll go Blues. I'll go Blues.
Vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperStation.com. I have no idea. I kind of go with, like, I take Pittsburgh all the time when we fill out our brackets here. How about the Predators? They have a chance?
Yeah. Predators. It's been a couple years since they've been in, but, they're pretty hot
they're
right now.
Predators. Predators.
And they have a cool logo. You know, they got a cool logo.
If that must be how people win the NCAA bracket.
I don't know how people win the NCAA bracket. If I knew how they won it, I'd win one. I have no idea how people win that thing.
Well, here's what I've come to figure out. Apparently, Kearney High's goaltender in Annie Kinnaman just finally got bored and decided I'm gonna let the streak end because in soccer Kearney High lost their opener to state rated Millard North 1-0 on opening night, and over the next 8 games they figured out, well, if the other team doesn't score, they can't beat us. So the other team didn't score in 8 straight games, and Kearney then won 6-1 last night over Holdridge, only the second goal allowed. And Coach Tammy Armstrong of the state-rated Lady Bearcats joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show with Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter. Coach, congratulations on a great run you guys have going.
Hey, thanks, Doug.
Was that the case? Yeah,
thanks for reminding me that we gave up a goal last night. Well, I thought I had forgotten that, but I guess not.
You did not forget that even for a nanosecond.
Nope.
You're not fooling anybody.
Not. You know what, though? We talked about the fact that we were going to give a goal up eventually, and how we responded to it was going to, you know, say a lot about our team. And 2.5 minutes later, they came back with a goal that ended up being the game winner and then actually scored the last 5 of the game. So, you know, I think that they got over it probably a lot quicker than I did.
Tammy, you knew you had some talent and this had the possibility of being a special season, and you're kind of halfway home. I say halfway home because we expect a nice, hopeful run here in the postseason from the Lady Bearcats. Are things going like you thought they would go?
You know, they actually are, and maybe even a little bit better. Getting that win at Southwest was kind of a bonus for us. We really went into it just wanting to compete, and because we haven't always competed very well against them. So, you know, that kind of solidified the fact that the work we've done in the off season and training and trying to change our approach to our style of play and our style of how we attack is paying off, because, you know, if you want to play with the big dogs in Lincoln and Omaha, there's a different way of attacking them. And we've worked very hard from the time we stepped off the field in the semifinals against Millard North until, you know, we picked them up and got to play them in the first game, kind of see if our changes were effective. And I think that game kind of showed us that, yeah, we were getting there. We're not exactly where we'd like to be, but nobody needs to be, you know, peaking right now, because we got a lot of we have a lot of season left, not day wise, but game wise for us.
It's interesting to me. You only give up 2 goals all season long, and usually people talk about, obviously you got a great goaltender, which I think you do, and the defenseman. But so many times you possess the ball so much with the midfielders that you've got the ball the other team doesn't, so it's very difficult for them to score. How are you guys doing it? Is it the defense? Is it Annie and net? Is it possession of the ball? What really is kind of the key for you guys?
You know, I think it's a combination, Randy. We are very strong up the middle, from Annie to our central defenders to our midfielders and our center striker. We have very good possession skills. So, yeah, it is difficult for teams. If they want to attack us up the middle, it's not going to happen. And if they can't defend the middle, it's going to be a problem. But if you go to a soccer game and you if you would put a stopwatch on possession. That usually the team that possesses the game ball for most of the game is going to win it, because otherwise you just played chase. You know, I think it's a little bit of a combination of everything, but Annie has really stepped up her game. You know, I think the city of Kearney is very lucky to have probably two of the best goalkeepers in the state in Annie Kinneman at Kearney High and Ellie Persofsky at Kearney Catholic. And so I don't know what those kids drank when they were young, but we need to start, you know, getting that bottled up for future goalkeepers.
Milk. Had to be milk, right?
Oh, it had to be, yeah.
Well, you didn't make Annie overly tall, though.
You know, we don't grow them tall in Kearney. Allie Persofsky's not very tall either. Yeah. So, you know, some of the – I'll tell you what, Millard North and Columbus, had, they're two of the best keepers we've faced all year, and they're probably 5'4". So it takes a really great shot to get in the upper part of the net. And, you know, a lot of – and so even a tall keeper sometimes is going to get that. So I'd rather have that quickness and just the soccer smarts that usually comes with the smaller person.
Well, tomorrow is the annual rivalry game with Grand Island, which probably is a little bit more on the boys' side than it is on the girls' side. Grand Island struggling a little bit on the girls, but the Grand Island boys got upset yesterday, so they're going to be chomping at the bit. Just talk about tomorrow's matchup, and then if you'd follow up with who you'll see this weekend.
Grand Island, you know, their record is not probably indicative of how they play. They're really pretty good in the back now. They're not, other than, you know, they, I don't know, there was a scoring explosion by Columbus last night. It was 6-0, but Grand Island's hung in there, so they must be doing something in the back. They're not scoring a lot of goals. They do have Taylor Rodriguez up on top as somebody that if you let her lose track of her, she's gonna beat all your defenders. So we have to make sure that number 22 is marked. You know, we play at UNK, which is a huge field. And probably for us, with our technical ability and able to possess the ball and then the speed we have on top, that should be to our advantage. But, you know, I think we've proven you gotta come ready to play. And we kind of talked to the kids about the fact that, you know, we used to use teams to measure where we were at. And I think now we've got teams who are coming in and using us as a measure stick for where their program is at. And that's a compliment to the kids, but you gotta be ready to play every game. This weekend, the Lincoln Southeast tournament is just, I call it stupid good. We should be the number one seed, and we will draw Elkhorn, who is, the record doesn't look that good, but they play a pretty strong Class A schedule and Class B schedule. So, and they went to state, they're state rated at the beginning of the year. Beat us last year in a shootout, and then if we can get by them, we will play Lincoln Southeast or Bellevue West. Both teams are in the top 5 or 6 in power points and in the top 10 in the state. So it's a great tournament for us. We need to not just play well. We talked about the fact we need to win a game at that tournament, because it's been a couple of years, and you know there's a lot of points out there for a wild card. And I know I don't want to stress that too much, but in Class A, you know, the top 7 teams get to host a district, and I think in the last 5 or 6 years, there's only been one upset in those top 7 teams not winning their district. So it's kind of big, but it's another one of those. We get to play the best teams in the state once again. You know, we get to see where we're at with those teams, and maybe even send a little bit of a message to them that we're legitimate.
Well, also legitimate, you have some offensive punch there. Obviously, Kelsey Stedham scoring 10 goals on the year. Hannah Lundell with 6. Obviously, those two young ladies work very well together. Talk about how they kind of complement each other a little bit.
Well, you know, they played together since they were probably 4th grade. Actually, Kelsey has 12. Those Max Preps weren't. Max Preps was down last night and
okay,
Early this morning. So Kelsey actually has 12 because she got 2 last night, and Hannah was 6, so she didn't play. But the nice thing about those two is I can switch them. So I can put one on top if I want to as a striker, or I can leave them both in midfield. If I have them both in the midfield, you know, it's a possession game, and they are so good at identifying unmarked runners, making diagonal runs, or, you know, somebody on the side. And you know, you hope that they get rewarded with those passes with somebody who can put it in the back of the net. So, you know, I think that that we have that flexibility, as well as with Nicole Seeple. We can interchange those three, and they're all three almost too unselfish, because at some point we talk about, you know, strikers and scorers in soccer have to be a little bit selfish. So sometimes they look to make the extra pass when they probably could have done it themselves. But that's what makes us kind of hard to defend, is those kids can score, but they can assist as well.
8 games, weather permitting, in the next 13 days. The regular season wraps up at Hastings on the 28th, which will be a rematch of the GNAC Championship. Kearney won that again. And, Tammy, one more question before we let you get back to work there. You mentioned the Metro. The Class A, a variety of the sports, have worked hard, especially in basketball, to make sure that the teams in the western portion of the state are getting to the opportunity to play Omaha, because they're, for whatever, we know why. is that happening or going to happen in soccer, or is it just too tough?
I don't know if it's too tough. It's just not happening. And we were fortunate to be able to get the game with Millard North. And I know people think he's fortunate. Well, we wanted to, and we wanted to play them at the beginning of the year so that, you know, we could have either played in the first game or the last game, and you may as well play it. You know, play them at the beginning of the year to see where you're at. It's just really difficult to get those teams to schedule anybody outside of Omaha. And actually, we don't even play Lincoln North Star out of Lincoln. So it doesn't look like it's on the horizon. There would have to be an awfully big push by the ADs to you know, get all of the schedules, you know, realigned. We can add a team because we're one game short, but we try and we get the thumbs down. So I just don't think they want to travel. It would certainly benefit them, and you have to play those teams several times to really understand their style and to appreciate their style, but then to also, you know, understand, hey, you know, we've got some skill, we can play with them. Because if you wait until you get to the big show in May, it can be just a little bit too overwhelming for you to see that kind of technical skill for the first time in the year.
Tammy Anderson's squad has won 9 in a row after that season opening loss. I calculate a 17-1 team going into the district tournament. So,
and hey, thanks.
I know they'd be doing backflips up there.
Well, yeah. You know, they might not be pretty ones, but we could cheer at them.
Well, Tammy, as always, thanks for the time and best of luck this week.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Tammy.
Oh, boy, man. Kearney girls playing well. Boys, I know they've let a couple that they had hoped, thought that they could win, but. Again, a team that, I mean, it's Kearney Grand Island tomorrow, and it's going to be good stuff up at Foster Field, and we wish them the best of luck.
And that's a little bit of the nature of both hockey and soccer. Sometimes you can really outplay somebody, and then you don't get the bounce, or the other team does get the bounce. And I don't want to say that's fluky, their losses, whatever, because generally you get rewarded. As Tammy said, you possess the ball, you're strong up the middle. As long as your spine is strong, you're going to be a pretty good soccer team, and you're going to be successful. But sometimes you can outplay teams and still get beat. So it's always kind of fun. It isn't that lopsided as you're going to run into in some of the other sports.
I should have played those sports then. We'll be back with more to wrap it up on the Doug and Daddy Show next.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretan Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretan Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretan Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
I can't wait for summer. I have so many cool things I want to do.
I want to do something cool too this summer, but I don't know what there is to do.
You should come with me to Hilltop Mall's Summer Activity Sign-Up Event. They are going to have organizations from around town with information about activities, clubs, sports, camps, and lots of other stuff. You can learn about and sign up for summer activities all right there at the mall.
Find summer activities for you and the whole family at Hilltop Mall's Summer Sign-Up Event, Saturday, April 18th, 1 to 4.
Giving back to the community has never been easier. May 1st is Give Hastings Day, a 24-hour opportunity to give to your favorite nonprofit organizations through the Hastings Community Foundation. Log on to givehastings.org on Friday, May 1st, and make your donation. It's that easy. You can win bonus money for your favorite charitable causes and enjoy some friendly competition. Plus, your donation stays in the Hastings area. Shape the future of Hastings in a single day on Friday, May 1st for Give Hastings Day. Live here, give here.
They've seen the tape.
From the shotgun, Winston.
They've heard from the players.
This is one thing that happens once in your life.
The outside opinions are unavoidable.
I think he has an Aaron Rodgers-like stroke.
Could this be the player, that franchise player?
Coach Select, Andrew Luck.
Or the players that set your franchise back for years?
Second choice, Ryan Leaf.
The NFL Draft. Round 1, Thursday, April 30th. Rounds 2 and 3, Friday, May 1st on ESPN Radio.
Getting to be that time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I haven't heard this one forever. This is out of nowhere. The old turtle pointer. This is perfect for comedy night, too.
It kind of is.
Man, we get the Youpers. If we get the Youpers at Cunningham sometime.
Yeah, for sure there, don't you know? You betcha.
We're clearing the slate, man.
Yeah, we may not have a game to broadcast there that night. We might have to call that in there.
Quit it.
You started it.
I know. I just mentioned the Youpers. I didn't bring the accent into it.
Well, but you've got to. If you're doing the Youpers, you got to do the accent.
I'll
there.
Make you eat lutefisk.
Oh, no. Don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, then quit it.
Your lutefisk makes me a little gassy.
God. Really? Is that... I hope we don't have anything else to talk about on this show. Have I missed anything? Anything that you wanted to bring up, Ding Dong?
Okay, Blues Brothers.
Here's
joke.
What I've got.
I had the Shining reference and gassy. I think I'm good.
Because I like to keep up on bowling and hope that UNK gets a team. Emily Eckhoff of Hastings College has advanced to the semifinals of the U.S. Bowling Congress Intercollegiate Singles Championships, defeating Shelley Goodwin of Lindenwood out of the MIAA in quarterfinals.
There's a conference title for you, Lopers.
Now, I
go
don't know.
Grab.
Yeah, I don't know how this all works because the semifinals aren't until Saturday, but I just wanted to give mention that Emily Eckhoff of Hastings College is rolling along.
Pun intended.
Well,
pun intended.
Not really. It just,
she's a bowling kingpin.
It just happens.
Yeah. There you
Maybe
go.
That'll show up on Cunningham's comedy someday.
Yeah, we need to have a kingpin reference at some point. got Munsoned.
That's good enough for today. I have no idea if we'll even have a show tomorrow.
It'll be tough to top this one, that's for sure.
Damon
Is that what you're saying? It'll be tough to top this one.
Damon Day will be in studio tomorrow. Lopers do play Wayne State in baseball tonight, so if you get a chance, go out and check out the Lopers. Very good season, and they could use a little love after their rough weekend, went 1-3, and this to right the ship a little bit. It's not sinking, but... You know, things are rolling along. They want to be in contention for the postseason, and they need wins, as many as obviously possible. Wayne State tonight, Lindenwood to wrap up the home portion of the season this weekend, so Damon will be in tomorrow. We do want to thank UNK track coach Brady Bonzel for joining us on our Loper Link today. Also, Tammy Anderson, Kearney High girls soccer coach, as they get ready to play Grand Island at Foster Field tomorrow, and Ohio State baseball coach Greg Beals for joining us on the program.
Thanks. It's good to see you again. Let's do this again next Wednesday. What do you think?
Well, I'm thinking about it. Kind of hungry. It's time for lunch. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.